There you are, sir. Hey, how you
doing? Okay. I'm doing good. How are you doing, Javier?
I am doing great. You're going to talk about GitHub Actions and deploying Windows apps, right?
I sure am, yeah. And I was actually just thinking about how that previous talk that Olya and Jasmine did is basically the perfect segue into this talk. So it's like we planned the content.
Like, it's like we figured out what we should put there ahead of time, right?
I just assumed that it was just people drawing names out of hats. It's like, okay, Isaac's going to go at this time. No, it's all set up in a way that makes it completely an end-to-end story for everybody, which I think is awesome.
Big brain right there. All right, so take it away, sir.
All right, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to .NET Conf Focus on Windows. So my name is Isaac Levin. I'm a senior product marketing manager at Microsoft. And to be honest, I'm not a desktop developer, not even a little bit. But over the course of the last year, I've built a Windows application, a WPF app to be specific, and I wanted to come up with a way to automate what we do as it pertains to deploying. So let me just start off with a little story, right? So right around when the pandemic started, or even a little bit before, I started to come up with this concept of I would love to be able to set smart lights that I have sprinkled all around my house and change the color of them based on my team status. And I built a tool called Presence Light. That tool, it's been featured a few times in different areas. It's been, you know, using keynotes at Microsoft, and it's been in, you know, circulated in different news outlets and things like that. But I think one of the big things to call out is that it's a desktop app. And how we deploy desktop apps, or distribute them, I guess is a better way, is definitely a little bit different than how we do it in the web space, right? We're very dependent on getting direct access to the users, right? You know, some, you know, we talked a little bit about previously, Olya and Jasmine did, about, you know, using ClickOnce or FTP or some other tools to get things out to our users. And all I'm talking about as it pertains to building desktop apps is using CI/CD. So as you can see, that's a screenshot of the README file for my app called Presence Light. And as you can see, there's a desktop build YAML file and it says that it's passing. What that means is that I have full GitHub Action enabled CI/CD on the app. And what does that actually mean, right? It commits apps to channels with GitHub, right? So I have configurable build environments per release channel. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And I don't know why that just did that. Anyway, sorry. Chaining workflows sequentially, right? You're talking about the entire flow. And I don't know, might have a PowerPoint failure. But anyway, long story short, gated approval, configuration stored in the repo, and everything's accessible via the GitHub portal itself. So why did I do this, right? That's the first question. It's like, okay, Isaac, it's not that hard to upload apps to the Windows Store if you're going to send them there using the mechanism that sits in the Windows Store. You can send things to Chocolaty using the Choco executable, and all the other methods that we get apps out there, they're not very cumbersome. So why would you want to spend all this time automating it? And here's why, right? It's easy to deploy changes, right? So in the situation where I've deployed something to the Windows Store, I don't want to have to go through the entire process of uploading the submission, configuring all the properties for it, and that I can do that in an automated fashion. Same for the other release channels. I can also use gated access to our gated workflows to basically approve scenarios. So for instance, maybe I want to have, like was mentioned a little bit earlier, maybe I want to have like a nightly version of my app that's available constantly, always updating when commits happen. And I want that to be available in some easy way. But I don't want those changes to immediately go to with the Windows Store or Chocolaty or Winget, right? I want to be able to approve them in a administrator interface. And that's what GitHub Actions allows you to do. In the situation for Presence Light, and I think a lot of apps that are built on for Windows, is that, you know, we have to sign our apps. And signing sometimes, unless you know make cert forwards and backwards, it's complicated. So there are ways to automate that process as well, and I'll talk about that a little bit. And then finally, if you have multiple channels, every single time you want to push a new version of your app, it's a different process, right? So for instance, right now Presence Light is deployed to 3 channels, and I'm currently working on a 4th one, which is Winget. So I deploy to the Windows Store, I deploy to Chocolaty, and I deploy to GitHub releases, right? So the app comes in 2 flavors. There's the more traditional, like the AppX or application forwarding process where it actually installs it. Like that's the Windows Store typical approach. And then I have a standalone version, which is literally just an EXE. That allows people to get it through Chocolaty. You can actually download it through GitHub releases. I guess the end of the story is that all these processes are different, right? And going through these processes in different scenarios in different times can be, you know, somewhat cumbersome. Like, why do something that you can easily automate? So what I'm going to do, and I apologize to everybody beforehand, is we're going to look at a lot of YAML. So what is YAML? I'll talk about it a little bit. YAML basically is yet another markup language, which GitHub Actions, it's basically the configuration file to kick up actions. And I've talked about GitHub Actions in the past for .NET Conf. I did it actually at the main event that we did in November of 2020. So I definitely talked more at a high level what GitHub Actions is. So if you aren't familiar with GitHub Actions, I'll talk a little bit about some of the main components of them. But if you want a more deeper dive into it, there's definitely one for a previous version of .NET Conf that I've done. So let's take a look at a demo. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to just right off the get, I'm going to open up VS Code, right? So VS Code is a great place for us to actually look at and configure and modify our YAML files, right? So one of the things that I want to showcase really, really quickly is if I scroll up to the top, I have the ability to trigger particular builds or workflows for our process based on a particular set of scenarios, right? I don't want, for instance, if I'm updating a YAML file or a README file, I definitely do not want to kick off a build. But for everything else, I definitely want to. So when I say kick off a build, what does that actually mean? Let me hop over to what it actually looks like for folks, right? So if I go to the Actions tab, you can actually see all of my individual workflow runs that I've actually done for Present Slate. As you can see here, some of them are red because they failed. Some of them are yellow because they're so things that are waiting. And then there's some that are green. I'm going to open up one of the yellow ones. And in this situation, I have the 4.0 version of Presence Lite that's waiting to be sent out to the Windows Store and GitHub releases. I've already deployed a nightly version. And basically, I can just go here, click Review Deployments, check a box, and approve and deploy. I'm not going to do that just yet because I think I've already done this. I just wanted to show you what the experience looks like. Also, what's really, really fascinating about GitHub Actions, you have the ability to look at all the individual log files that happened. Right. So when we go through my workflow file, I'll show you all the individual steps, but I can actually go here to the GitHub portal and look at all the individual things. So I'm zipping up files here, I'm publishing, I'm signing, doing all that stuff. So to take a step back, what am I actually doing when I kick off a build of Presence Lite or kick off a workflow of Presence Lite? So GitHub Actions has this concept called environments. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to basically isolate individual parts of your CI/CD workflow to in using particular access attributions. So like you can have gated workflows or approvals or things like that. So when I talk about CI/CD with a desktop app, I think about it in three main stages, right? The first thing is I actually have to build the app. So it's either a .NET run or a .NET build or an MS build, depending on the scenario. I have to sign it because one of the things that's very, very important with desktop apps, as most of the folks know, is you need to actually make sure that your applications that are being installed on your end user's computer are safe and signed. So being able to sign them in an effective way is really important. And then finally, deploy. So when I talk about deploy, I mentioned that I have three individual channels right now. So I have Windows Store, GitHub Release, and Chocolaty. There's actually a fourth one. That fourth one is called Nightly. And what Nightly basically is it allows you to go to a particular URL and it'll actually open the installation experience for the Nightly build. So I can actually show you this by going to the main Presence Lite site, going down to where it says desktop README. And then I have all of these individual install channels. And right now I have Nightly. If I click install link, it's gonna pop open the app installer prompt. I'm not going to do that because I actually have. Actually, what's happened if I click open? So what's going to happen is something opened on my other screen. And as you can see, that's the prompt, right, to actually install. And because I've signed it, it's marked as a trusted app, which is very, very important. Otherwise, your app's going to be marked as untrusted, and it might not pass particular criteria to install on that end user's machine. So how did I get to this point, right? So let me take a look at VS Code, and I'm just going to go through. I'm not super painfully slow, but probably painful enough for folks that have seen YAML and they don't really like the experience of YAML. I will say one thing. I wasn't a huge fan of YAML initially, and now that I use it a lot to configure the builds for not just Presence Life, but for other apps I'm doing that are either desktop or web or what have you, it's made things substantially easier for me to understand what I'm doing in particular scenarios. So as you can see here, I have a strategy matrix inside of my particular build WPF workflow. And those channels are very tightly tied to the channels that I talked about earlier. So I have the nightly version. I have a standalone version, which is just basically creating an executable, a self-contained to call out to what Ole and Jasmine are talking about. So Presence Lite, it does not need to have .NET 5 installed on it because all of the bits needed to run Presence Lite are included in the package. And then finally, I have this release version, which is your more typical install method that comes through Windows. So the first thing that I want to do is I want to configure some environment variables. And the biggest one that I want to call out is this Windows 10 identifier, right? So Presence Lite, it runs on 19.04.1. And when I'm actually calling in to the different .NET run or .NET build commands and MS build commands, I need to be able to grab those. And then as we scroll down, most of the steps here as a part of this workflow are pretty straightforward. I'm checking out my code. I'm setting up .NET 5. This is actually no longer needed since GitHub Actions actually has .NET 5 pre-installed on the runners. I set up MS build, and then I get some versions. I basically use NerdBank Git versioning and then build out and get an actual version for my file. Sorry that I keep on getting tooltips here. And then I just start going through the process of what I need to do to get my application ready to be deployed. So GitHub Actions and GitHub repos in general have this concept called secrets. So what that allows you to do is store information that you do not want to be shared out with the world. So in order to be able to do things like for Presence Lite, I need to have secrets as it pertains to authenticating with Azure AD, client IDs and secrets for my lights and all those sort of things. So I actually have the ability to, you know, run. So for instance, this is a PowerShell, some PowerShell commands that updates an app settings file. So, and I'm using secrets to be able to accommodate that. And what that allows me to do is keep all of my precious information outside of code, but still allows access to it from an action standpoint when I'm building it out. Also, one thing that I have done, and to be honest, completely, let me just call out Claire Novotny because I stole a lot of her ideas. So she actually has a very similar process like this for NuGet Package Explorer. She has it set up in Azure Pipelines, and I have mine set up in GitHub Actions because I thought that it would be a great learning experience for me how to build these sort of things. So a lot of the code here and a lot of the concepts I actually took from her. So kudos to her while I'm going through this. So as I move on, I actually have badges that are attached to Presence Lite. So people can actually go to the GitHub repo and see what's the current version, and that badge is available on the actual README file. So I'm updating an SVG file, and I'm adding the version number. So the version number will actually be available as text inside the SVG file. Then the next step is just, you know, build my app, right? So for the standalone app, which is, like I said, it's a self-contained executable of the WPF app. I just .NET publish an x86 and an x64 version of them. So, and you know, to call out, I just basically say if the matrix channel name, which basically means is my candidate is standalone, build out the regular version and then zip it. However, if it's not standalone, I go through the MS build process, right? And this is a pretty decent size MS build command. Obviously, I'm zoomed in a lot here, but as you can see, I'm, you know, adding the version number. I'm specifying the WAP proj for this particular MS build, which is the actual package project that goes with my WPF application. I specify the channel name, and then I specify a couple of additional paths or parameters into MS build to configure it. And once that's all done, the next step is basically, after I've built, I want to sign. So from there, what I would do is I artifact or I upload, you know, some of my different built versions. I upload them to GitHub Artifacts, and it allows me access to them from another workflow. So when I talk about another workflow, the next thing I'm talking about is code signing, right? So I'm taking advantage of a really, really cool project that's a part of the .NET Foundation called Sign Service. So Sign Service, what it does is it's a signing, it's a an app that's hosted in Azure App Service. You can actually deploy it out to your own environment, which allows you to actually sign these particular artifacts without having to do make certs and saving off files and modifying files and all that dance. So all I need to do to be able to configure that is I install the .NET tool for the sign client, and then I make a call into my I run a .NET global tool command called sign client with some parameters. And what that does is that uploads those particular files. In this particular sense, it's I'm signing all of my AppX bundle files. That's going to upload the AppX bundle files to that app service. That app service is going to individually unwrap all the pieces needed, sign it, rebundle it back up, and then send me back a signed version. So instead of me having to run all these commands locally, I literally just wait for this to complete, and then I take that new AppX bundle file that's been created for me, and then I use that for the rest of my workflow. And I'm actually doing this for a couple of different file types. So I do it for AppX bundle and app installer, and then I do it for zip. So making sure that all of my release artifacts that actually get sent off to my different release channels, they're all signed, which is really, really important. So after I've done all that signing, I publish out those individual signed packages. And then the next step is my deploy. So after I've built and after I've signed, it immediately does, after sign's complete, it kicks off a nightly publish. So as mentioned earlier, my nightly version of my app is actually hosted in Azure App Service or Azure Storage, right? So Azure Blob Storage, to be specific. And what that allows me to do is basically upload a version to the Blob Storage account. And whenever that version gets updated, anybody who clicks on that install nightly link will get the latest version every single time. And how I do that is I use the Azure CLI, which I think is really, really awesome. It allows me to upload these blobs in a way that makes sense. And then as we go through the rest of them, GitHub release, one of the great things about GitHub Actions is that it allows you to take advantage of the work of so many people in the open source community. So the open source community has a marketplace where people can actually, upload or declare the actions that they've built, right? So some of them are built by Microsoft, some of them are built by GitHub, some of them are built by me. It doesn't really matter, right? Anybody who builds out an action can display their action in the marketplace. So when I talk about that, one of the things that's really, really important when we build out GitHub releases is that we want to make sure that our releases make sense. So I generate a change log based on all of the previous commits. So what that allows me to do is when I go to the release page of Presence Lite, it actually shows what's in there. So I don't have to do that by hand. And then once I've actually created the release and uploaded those particular assets to GitHub, it's there for everybody to see. So it gives me the opportunity to, again, get to a release channel in a way. I easily could upload these things to GitHub, or I could use the GitHub API to upload an asset and create a release, or I could just do it here, which I think is, again, talking about reuse, talking about being able to do things in a more efficient way. Chocolaty is a very, very similar example. So scrolling down to the real meat of it. So one of the things that's really important about Chocolaty is that you have to provide hashes, right? So I actually am using a PowerShell script here to basically create a hash for the files that I have and then save them off in a particular file that Chocolaty needs to verify. So, and then after that, it's just a matter of packing up the new spec file and then actually using choco.exe push to push those package files up to Chocolaty. And then that goes through the Chocolaty workflow, and then I'm notified when it's available. So another really, really, again, I want to stress, all these things you can easily do yourself, but do you really want to? It's about making your life and your end user's life easier, because when we distribute our applications in a more complicated way or in a way that is more cumbersome both for me and for the end users who have to continually basically check to make sure a new version is available, it just makes things challenging. So I'm going to skip over the Winget one because it's not really working. I want to talk a little bit about deploying to the store, the Microsoft store. So deploying to the Microsoft Store is a fairly straightforward process. You go to your partner dashboard when you actually want to create a developer account, and then you create a product, which in this situation it's Presence Lite. And then I have the ability to configure all the things needed, like the age range for the particular app and all that sort of stuff. One thing that's really, really great is that the Windows Store team built out an Azure Pipelines task to be able to do just that. So what I did is I slightly rewrote it to work for GitHub Actions. But basically, all I do is I update this environment file, and then I run a Node application that's in my repository. So what that Node application does is it actually takes that bundled file, it uploads it to the Windows Store and creates a submission. Submission is basically the concept that they use to determine candidates to get pushed to the Windows Store. So, you know, that's kind of a really, really high level what I'm doing when I get Presence Lite from point A to point B. I think one of the really things that I want people to, if they're curious about this, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or, you know, take a look at all this code. Because one of the great things about GitHub Actions is that all of the YAML for this and all of the different steps is available in the repository. So with that, you know, I want to give us some time for some questions. So I'm just going to frantically move over. There's a 4.0 version of Presence Lite that I just released yesterday. It has some more support. If you have any interest in that, take a look at isaacl.dev/presencelite for all the information. Thanks for joining. And yeah, let's get some questions. Javier, do you have any questions for me?
We actually don't have any questions per se, but we do have a comment from Andrew Arnott. He says, great presentation on GitHub Actions. That clearly has come a long way since I last looked at them. I am thrilled to see your NerdBank Git versioning as well.
Yeah, I mean, so I think one of the things that I've always stressed is that versioning is hard. I think everybody has stressed that. Versioning is very challenging. So, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants is a thing. So take advantage of all the things that people have built to make things like versioning, things like CI/CD, all these things, make them, like use them and take full advantage of the work of others, because doing everything yourself is, honestly, it's a waste of everybody's time. That's right. Me personally, but whatever.
Nope, I agree. It's, you know, it's like you said, standing on the shoulder of giants is how we may move things forward. Actually, I do have one question. I wasn't
certainly
paying attention as closely as I should have.
Oh, but when you were gracious. Doing this,
I know I was trying to get the other speaker up and going, because anyway, he's going to be interesting. And when you were coming, when you were showing your signing, mm-hmm. you what were you storing the certificate you were signing with? Was that something you were auto-generating, or was that a secret in GitHub?
So, yeah, so that's one of the great things about the signing service. Let me
add you there and switch it.
Yeah, so the signing service, let me just actually look at my code here. So with the signing service, you have your own web portal, and that web portal, you upload your CA cert. So it actually uses the signing cert. It uses that CA cert that you get from your authority to sign your stuff for you, right? So you go to, you know, CA of choice. Most people go to one particular one. I'm not going to mention it. But at the end of the day, you upload that cert and you upload that thumbprint to the signing service. And what it does is it actually, every single time you make a call to the signing service, it uses that certificate to sign your applications. Hope that answered your question. I don't really know if it did or not.
No, it did. And that's great. You were going through it and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because like you said, signing specifically for those sort of packages is always an important thing.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. And one of the things that I highly recommend is you take a look at that link, isaacl.dev/presencelite. So that is a link to the sign service GitHub mm-hmm. repo, where you can definitely set up your own tenant of it.
Right.
And, you know, the .NET Foundation, that's what they use, right? So right. Every time that a .NET Foundation project pushes something, whether it's a NuGet package or what, mm-hmm. they have the ability to get it signed as part of being a .NET Foundation project.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's an important thing to do as you go along. So perfect. Great. Well, Isaac, thank you so much. We're right on time.